This is Over the Garden Gate, a program brought to you by the University of California Cooperative Extension Master Gardener Program of Tuolumne County. The mission of the UCCE Master Gardeners is to provide research-based gardening information to the public. If you would like to contact our Master Gardener Program, please call our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912. The hotline is not manned full-time, but we do pick up our messages and we will get back to you within the week.
Hello everybody, this is Debbie Powell, the Master Gardener Coordinator for both Calaveras and Tuolumne Counties, and we're here at the Sonora office, the UCCE office, talking to our Tuolumne Master Gardener, Linda Reevely. Hello, Linda.
Hi, Debbie. How are you today?
Great. And we're going to talk about Christmas plants.
Christmas plants. Plants that people have usually inside their houses at this time of year. And what we can do to make them more beautiful and perhaps even have them for longer than a year. First one I want to talk about is poinsettias. Do you like poinsettias?
I love poinsettias.
You say poinsettias. I say poinsettias. Some people say poinsettia.
Oh, sure.
And I'm sure that's an okay pronunciation because poinsettias are named for the person who brought them into the United States from Mexico, where they grow naturally. They grow in southern Mexico, kind of around Mexico City, just a bit north of there and a little bit south of there, and then all the way up and down Central America. And sometimes they get to be 13 and 14 feet tall and grow as small trees.
Wow. Poinsettia trees.
Poinsettia trees with the bright red flowers. The original plants had flowers that looked a little more like, almost like spidery, with longer, thinner bracts than the ones we grow now commercially, but they are pretty stunning.
Oh, they really are. So many different colors.
Yeah, and they were brought to the United States in 1925 by Joel Roberts Poinsett, who was the envoy to Mexico. But before he brought them to the United States, he took them to Egypt.
Oh my gosh.
Where they are widely grown in Egypt, as he became the envoy to Egypt and took his collection of these plants that he thought were so charming with him to Egypt. And now they grow a lot of them in Egypt and they sell them up into Europe in the winter.
Oh my goodness. These plants have gotten around.
These plants have really gotten around. They're grown all over the world, but the most beautiful ones, I think, are grown here in the United States. Partly the responsibility of the Eckes, both father and son. Paul Ecke, the son, is the foremost breeder of poinsettias probably to ever come along. His nursery in Encinitas, California, down south from where we are here, has produced untold millions of poinsettia plants.
He's the expert.
He is the expert. Boy, there is no nursery that knows better of how to produce them, I suspect. But we do have a number of, we have a local, semi-local nursery here, Duarte's, who are in Empire, California, who have beautiful poinsettias for sale this time of year. And it's a joy and a pleasure to visit the nursery because they have covered nursery rooms, you know, greenhouses, just full of poinsettias. The best time, I think, to go is just before Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. when they still have lots of them. Because right. you just will never see a better show in your whole life.
Oh, it's so much fun.
It is. All the different colors mm-hmm. and varieties. And they're just amazing.
But yeah. once you buy this plant and you take it home, or if you give it away as a gift, but let's say you indulge and take it home, how do you take care of it?
Well, a poinsettia is not necessarily a houseplant. And so okay. you have to take that into consideration. A poinsettia wants to be in eastern light in the morning and then in kind of semi-shade the rest of the day. It wants a cool room, not much above 75 degrees, not much below 55. They will suffer damage, cold damage at below 55 on their leaves. They are actually blooming when we bring them home. But the blooms are not the beautiful red petals or the white and sparkly petals that we think of. They are, in fact, those little tiny yellow nubbins in the center of what looks like the flower.
And those are the flowers.
Those
the true
are
flowers.
The true flowers. And those little tiny flowers are a real hallmark of how healthy the plant is. If you buy one and those little flowers are falling off, just put it back on the shelf. Mm. You want to find one where the leaves are dark, mm-hmm. where there are leaves from the bottom of the stem all the way up, and where those little yellow flower bits, the cyathia, isn't that a wonderful strange word? Spelled with a C, C-Y-A-T-H-I-A. The cyathia are bright, filled out, and firmly attached. So to know, you should just give the plant a little tiny shake, not mm-hmm. a big shake, just okay. a little shake. Because these plants, of all the plants that we bring home, have probably the most fragile stem attachments. Mm-hmm. You will break branches off these things every time you move them around. When you buy them, make sure that your florist or nursery put them in one of those paper sleeves mm-hmm. to protect them.
Those are helpful.
Because that really protects the leaves. And when right. you get them home, don't leave them in the car. Mm-hmm. Take them in the house because they right. just don't want to get cold.
That's true.
Really, really cold.
And they come in so many colors.
Aren't they amazing? I'm just stunned by the varieties that you see these days. Pink ones and white ones. White ones with gold veining mm-hmm. and red ones. And dark velvety red ones. And they are so lovely.
They are.
And if you take good care of them, and we're going to tell you how, mm-hmm. you can have them again next year.
I know that, and that is a wonderful thing. I mean, I love being able to have a plant that I can carry over to the next year.
Exactly.
And a lot of people end up throwing them away. They don't realize that they'll continue.
That they're entirely savable. Mm-hmm. In order to take really good care of your poinsettias, I would advise you to do one thing right away when you bring them home. And that's take that piece of foil or plastic off the bottom of the pot. And
Good idea.
They're lovely. They're really pretty. Mm-hmm. They're meant to catch your eye, but they're very detrimental to the plant because poinsettias hate having wet feet.
Oh, yeah.
They don't want to have any moisture in the pot or in the dish after you water them. And that plastic piece mm-hmm. that people decorate them with holds the water up against the bottom of the pot. Mm-hmm. When you water them, and you should water them every few days and keep the soil moist, you should wait for the water to move through the plant into your saucer and then dump it out. Mm-hmm. Because the poinsettia wants to have its roots where it can get a lot of oxygen.
Well, it might be because they're really in the euphorbia family, which is really a type of succulent,
they
believe
are.
It or not.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe.
They are. They're a euphorbia. Mm-hmm. And the euphorbias are an incredible range of beautiful, beautiful plants that all like to have dry feet.
Yes.
Because they're yes. sort of semi-deserty dwelling kinds of plants. Mm-hmm. They like to be moist but not wet.
Right.
They're
right.
very fungus sensitive. Mm-hmm. And they will catch fungus pretty easily. Mm. So if you take that plastic thing or that foil off, put the thing in a plant saucer, pour water through, dump out the plant saucer, keep it in good morning light with some good bright sun for an mm-hmm. hour or two, even three a day, but then not so much in the afternoon because they don't mm-hmm. like that. Your poinsettia will be beautiful through the holidays. And then somewhere sort of mid-January or so, you will begin to notice that the bright petals, which are in fact leaves, will fall and the little flowers will fall off. This is your clue to start watering your plant a bit less and to get out your kitchen shears and give it a bit of a haircut. Keep watering it until it's warm mm-hmm. at night, at least 55 degrees, and then take it outside. Mm-hmm. Put it again where it's going to get a bit of morning sun and the rest of the day it'll be in the shade.
But no freezing weather.
It's got to be above 55 because mm-hmm. 55 will kill them. Mm-hmm. It gets below that, they will be frozen and it will kill them.
I've heard of poinsettias being grown as outdoor plants in the Bay Area.
I have too. And I can believe that. And, you know, it's mostly done by people who are smart enough to mm-hmm. put them where they get morning light.
Right.
And they give them good haircuts. Because mm-hmm. a poinsettia will tend to only produce a few branches that bloom, mm-hmm. but if you cut it back, you force it to make mm-hmm. more buds that come out and make little short branches, axial branches, and those are the ones that get the little tiny flowers mm-hmm. with the beautiful bracts.
Right.
Then there's that whole business about day, night, and darkness.
Oh, gosh.
And I understand, and I think this is maybe true, for some varieties, mm-hmm. you have to keep them in total darkness for 16 hours a day. You should start the 1st of October. And as I understand it, the best trick mm-hmm. is to either put them in a closet and shove something underneath the door, because even the light from your TV can sort of
subvert
this process.
That's true.
Or you put a box over them.
Mm-hmm. Which is a good idea.
Just have a largish box.
Right.
Put them in a darkened room, put the box mm-hmm. over it at night, and then get it out in the morning and put it mm-hmm. in the window. Let it be in the sunlight during the day, and then put the box back over mm-hmm. it about 4 or 5 at night.
Right, right.
And that will bring them into bloom.
Mm-hmm. Force them to do it.
Force them to do it. Encourage their natural tendencies.
That's right.
Because this plant didn't know we were going to have lots of electrical light.
That's true.
In its history, and it doesn't know what to do about mm-hmm. that except not bloom.
Right.
Because it thinks it's summer all the time until you do that.
That's true.
So poinsettias, you can keep them year after year. I had one when I lived in Utah that I kept on my back porch. It got beautiful morning light there. It was cool but mm-hmm. didn't freeze. And this thing was 4 feet across.
Oh, my gosh.
And from the pot up, mm-hmm. was probably 3 feet tall, and it bloomed every year.
Oh, wonderful.
And in order to make that happen, mm-hmm. I covered my entire back porch with plastic garbage bags on the windows at night that I just took down in the morning, and then I put back up with pins at night every day, and it worked.
I love your idea about the box.
Yeah, the box would have been a lot easier, but it would have been a big box.
That's true.
But poinsettias are, I think, one of the most stunning plants I've ever seen. Remember that they are euphorbias. If you have latex sensitivity, these plants will set you off.
Good point.
They are not toxic unless you have latex sensitivity. And if you do and you get that sap on you, you have itchy spots.
Just wash it off?
Wash it off with soap and water.
Mm-hmm. Wash it off.
Because latex is, you've got to be persistent about getting it off you if you're sensitive.
Mm-hmm. But there's other plants that typically can be used around Christmas time to brighten your house. And one of them is narcissus.
Ah, narcissus, sometimes called paper whites.
Mm-hmm.
Paper whites are just another variety of daffodils, except that they tend to be white,
mm-hmm.
and they tend often to be heavily scented. Now, I'm of two minds about paper whites. Many of them are just too scented for me. I just don't care for some of those smells, especially in a concentrated mm-hmm. room or something.
Well, some people are very sensitive to fragrances.
Yeah. And these are, paper whites can, there are some that have very little scent and some that have way too much as far mm-hmm. as I'm concerned. However, what you get out of a paper white is a bulb that you can force in water.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't put the bulb in water. You just put the very bottom of the bulb in water. You can do this mm-hmm. by having a tray of gravel, and you set the bulbs mm-hmm. on the gravel, and you just pour the water up so it just touches the bottom of the bulbs. There are also forcing jars, which have a narrow mm-hmm. neck. You drop the bulb.
Those were very popular at one time.
They were. Well, you can still find them.
That's
true.
That's true.
Drop the bulb in the forcing mm-hmm. jar and pour water up to where it just touches the very bottom of the bulb.
Mm-hmm.
And then big, thick, wonderful roots will begin to emerge. And within just a few days, you'll see that telltale, beautiful green spike begin to come out of the top of the bulb, which are, in fact, usually the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
The leaves come out, and then comes your flower spikes. And you will end up with these beautiful, beautiful white flowers.
They are beautiful.
They look great planted in groups.
Mm-hmm.
Like take a tray with the gravel and plant several of them mm-hmm. in it. They are just absolutely stunning. When they're finished blooming, you cut off not the whole plant, just the flower stem.
Mm-hmm.
And continue to water until that flower stem has absorbed and done everything it can do in terms of storing food in that bulb. and then pull a bulb out and let it dry off. Clip the leaves off, put it in a cool place, a cool, dry place, somewhere right. probably in your garage. Mm-hmm. Don't forget where you leave them. If it's, you'll come across and go, oh, no.
Here they are.
I was wondering what happened to them. But put them someplace where you can find them again, and you can start them again the following year. Along the same lines of those are amaryllis.
Mm-hmm.
The big, giant, heavy bulbs that,
oh,
that
those are beautiful
produce
too.
Those giant trumpet flowers right. that are like 3.5-4 feet tall with the big flowers.
A lot of stores carry the boxes where it's just the bulb in a box.
Those are great kits. Usually come with a little plastic pot mm-hmm. and some medium and the bulb. And then maybe sometimes they come with some, I don't know, peat moss or something that you can shove around to hold the bulb in place. It's the same trick. It's watering mm-hmm. this bulb so that the medium at the base of it gets wet. The bulb will produce leaves and these big, tall, wonderful blossoms. And then that's kind of it. You cut them off, mm-hmm. let the leaves go for a while, cut them off, wait till the bulb looks plump, and then withhold water till it dries and store it again for the next year.
It's pretty easy, isn't it?
Bulbs are such a gift because they're so easy.
I mean,
they really
anybody
are.
Can do it.
And I'm not going to guarantee that we'll always work the second year. I had mm-hmm. one last year that I just looked ever so hopeful, and it just produced lovely green leaves. But you know, it had the first year was absolutely stunning. Mm-hmm. It was one of those red ones, and it just took your breath away.
Yes.
So we start those if you want them at Christmas time. You really mm-hmm. need to start them. They're fast. I would say right about Thanksgiving,
mm-hmm.
because they only take about a month to actually flower.
Okay.
Paper white's just a tiny bit longer, not much. Uh-huh. They also profit, not the amaryllis, but the paper whites, by a little tiny trip through your refrigerator.
Okay.
Because some of them like to be chilled.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them. Most mm-hmm. of them will do just
right.
fine, but some
right.
of them like to be chilled.
Okay.
So there's three beautiful things you can have in your house mm-hmm. during the winter season that will give you tons of color and a lot of joy, and they're really beautiful.
There's
other plants that are good too, though.
There is.
Yeah.
And I know you've grown cyclamen before.
I have had cyclamen, and I like cyclamen. I think they're beautiful. I think they're pricey. And when you look for them, you want to look for really good, strong, healthy plants that the leaves are all well attached, because cyclamen, like a lot of other plants, are a little bit fungus sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes if they have fungus, you'll notice that the leaf attachments aren't good, because mm-hmm. that's where the fungus starts.
Mm-hmm.
So always make sure when you buy them that the leaves seem to be well attached to the plants. If you look at them, the leaves themselves are a treat. They have beautiful leaves. And then they have those flowers,
mm-hmm.
those beautiful little heavy-duty kind of shooting stars kind of
right.
flowers, and to which they are related.
Which, I mean, beautiful reds, whites,
pinks,
salmons, purples.
Oh, stunning.
It's just gorgeous.
And you can do such a lovely display with them. Cyclamen are best kept outside, or if you have a very cool room like a sun porch
mm-hmm.
in your home, cyclamen will do well there too. They really don't want to come in the house because the heat is very hard on them.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't want to be as warm as we do.
It's a cool season crop.
It is a cool season plant. They
mm-hmm.
will tolerate a little bit of frost,
mm-hmm.
or even a tiny bit of snow, but not layer upon layer.
Yeah.
If you have them outside and you're worried that it's going to snow in your location, hint, all you people who live in Miwok, you really do need to put a box over them at night. To keep the
good
snow
idea
off them.
And they do well as in a container.
Oh,
so as a potted plant, they're
beautiful potted
yeah.
plant, and such a lovely show of color.
Mm-hmm.
They do more, I think, to make the outside of your home look inviting than almost anything you can have this time of year.
Oh, I think so
and
too.
There are a lot of beautiful plants that will grow well mm-hmm. this time of year, but oh, cyclamen are so lovely.
They are gorgeous.
I think they're just beautiful.
Now, a lot of times around this time of year, people receive as gifts, they're sold in many stores, things you wouldn't normally think of as being indoor plants. And one of them that has become really popular is these cute little rosemary trees.
Aren't they just the cutest things?
They are cute.
I love rosemary trees, and I like rosemary for a number of reasons. First of all, it smells wonderful. And a little tiny bit does go a long way, but boy, it smells good when you just brush by it.
It does.
These little trees that are grown and then trimmed, they give them pretty serious haircuts to make them into little Christmas trees.
They do.
Are amazingly sturdy. They will put up with the temperatures in your house. Again, they like to be watered and then have the water thrown out of the saucer so mm-hmm. that their roots can remain a little bit drier, because rosemary outside in your yard doesn't even need to be watered for the most part.
Right, right.
Unless you live in a very dry place, you don't. Mm-hmm. We water our rosemary, and when we do in the summer, because I have a lot of rosemary hedging at my house, mm-hmm. we wait until it sort of doesn't have that beautiful blue-green, almost misty look.
Yeah.
When it just slightly starts to go to the yellow, it's time to water it.
Mm-hmm.
In the house, however, especially because we heat our houses, you need to water it in the winter to keep these little trees going well. They're wonderful. You can keep them in the house forever as long as you have enough sun. Most of us don't get quite enough sun in our houses in the summer when the angle changes.
That's true.
So I would take them outside at that point. But they make such lovely decorations. Mm-hmm. And they're a lovely gift because, unlike some of these other plants that are a little touchy, you practically can't kill a rosemary.
That's true.
You know,
and you can pop it right into your yard.
Yeah. Put it right back in your yard, and then you can use it for culinary rosemary.
That's true.
And
for all your cooking needs.
For your cooking needs. Few things taste better than a pork chop with some rosemary.
Oh, absolutely.
Another thing that looks like a Christmas tree, and in fact is, are potted Christmas trees. And I know you have a lot of background in the nursery trade, and you probably ran across a lot of those potted Christmas trees. What kind of advice would you give us about planting those or taking care of them?
Sure. Well, because I've had many of them, I like to keep them outside, and then if I was going to use them inside for decoration, and a few times I used them as Christmas trees, it's just for the shortest amount of time possible. You can do it just before Christmas, bring it in, but really they want to be outside. They really do. I mean, they use all kinds of different pine trees. I've seen redwood sheared, I've seen all kinds of things sheared, but really they're an outdoor tree, so these outdoor trees, they really want to have full sun, they want to have water when they want water, and that's about it.
And I don't think they like any lights that get very warm. I think that's really hard for them, because you always want to put the lights at the ends of the stem, which for a tree like that are the most fragile parts of the tree.
It's where the growth is happening. That's where the growth is happening.
And if it gets too hot, it will stop the growth of the tree, and the tree will become misshapen. If you want to take them in, I suggest putting lightweight paper decorations on them and then hauling the whole thing back outside.
Absolutely. And nowadays they have indoor lights that really don't give off very much heat at all, if any heat, so you're probably okay there. And even they have outdoor lights that aren't really producing a lot of heat. It was those old-fashioned Christmas lights, which you can't even find anymore.
Which, if you still have them, I say save them, because if you have citrus and you live in an
good
area
idea.
Where you can keep citrus,
right? Good if idea.
If you put those Christmas lights on your citrus tree, it usually provides just enough warmth to keep your citrus happy. In most of the more temperate parts of our environment locally.
Right, that's a great idea.
So old-style Christmas lights are not necessarily something you just throw
out.
No, no. You look at that box and go, oh, I know what I'm going to do with you, because they're hard to find, like you were saying. It's really hard to find lights that work that way.
Absolutely, and I've talked to master gardeners that are trying to find them, so they'll even make the attempt of going into thrift stores, going to yard sales, just trying to find these old-fashioned Christmas lights
because that are warm.
Because they are warm. And a lot of these potted Christmas trees, depending on the variety, I happen to have a variety that's called Pinus helderica, which is, believe it or not, native to Afghanistan.
Wow.
I have a challenging area that I live in Calaveras County. And I understand these trees are pretty tough, since they are able to grow in Afghanistan. And if you ever look at the mountainous area there, it looks pretty rugged, pretty tough growing conditions. And I've got trees that are pretty big outside.
That's
so I've
super.
Moved them straight outside. They're growing in my backyard. And
they look
and
great.
Once they were only 4 feet tall, now they're, you know, probably 30 feet tall.
Yeah.
So.
Just bird walking, because, you know, I have such a hard time not bird walking. In our area, we see a lot of deodar cedars.
Okay,
they're
sure.
They're a big, giant
right.
tree. If you look at them from above, like with a drone,
mm-hmm.
or they swirl. Their branches
oh.
swirl around. It's an amazing thing to see. They were sold in our area in the late 1800s, early 1900s, as being the cedars of Lebanon. They
oh.
aren't the cedars of Lebanon. They are, in fact, also
mm-hmm.
from Afghanistan.
Oh, my gosh.
And they're still a wonderful, if you want a great big giant cedar tree, this is a good way to go, because they're not so susceptible to our local cedar diseases, and they are pretty stunning. And again,
they're beautiful.
They originally came from Afghanistan.
How interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Isn't that wonderful?
That is.
Really delighted when I discovered that.
And I think they've been planted all over California. It seems
oh, they
like
have.
Any town you go to, there's a deodara cedar.
They were part of a kind of movement almost to plant plants that were mentioned in the Bible.
I'll be darned.
And a lot of people thought that was just, you know, that little picture of heaven on
okay.
earth. It's why we have in Old Gardens Rose of Sharon,
uh-huh.
deodar cedars. There are a number of these plants. Lilies.
Mm-hmm.
Because lilies are mentioned prominently
okay.
in the Bible. So a lot of these gardens thought that that would be just the exact theme they wanted to go with, our foremothers and fathers.
Wow.
And there were nurseries who almost specialized mm-hmm. in selling those plants.
How fun.
Now, the fact that they couldn't tell a cedar of Lebanon from a cedar of Afghanistan is kind of beyond me, but it worked.
Well, you know, at that time when they came out, I mean, you didn't really have the internet. I mean,
that's
if
true.
You were lucky, you could find it in a textbook somewhere.
You couldn't look it
and,
up.
And, you know, a lot of times the photographs were rather poor.
Or drawings.
Or you're right. Or
a
line
lot of
drawings.
Yeah, people did line drawings in those
yes,
catalogs.
Yes.
So here, you know, why we have what we have is sometimes for reasons we didn't quite expect.
That's true.
Speaking of things we didn't quite expect, we didn't touch on Christmas cactus.
Oh, you know what? You're right.
I love Christmas cactus.
Yes, they're beautiful.
Christmas cactus are all one group of plants that have beautiful flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And pink ones and white ones and red ones and pink ones. I said pink. It's because mine are pink. Pink ones and purple ones.
Mm-hmm.
And they are so pretty. They bloom from about Thanksgiving all the way up through the middle of April, given the given
mm-hmm.
variety.
Right.
And if you, again, these are very hardy plants. They are, in fact, a real cactus, although they don't have spines.
Mm-hmm.
They have stunning flowers.
They're beautiful.
And they're tough. They're tough mm-hmm. little plants. They can stay inside in the winter, which they need to, because again, they're subtropical, but you can put them out in your yard in the summer.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And bring them back in the winter.
Right.
In the fall. And I was just reading on a website that I found on my computer, of course, that it really helps to bring them into bloom by watering them and, again, draining the saucers.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they have the flower buds on, to fertilize them with a potassium fertilizer.
Okay.
About every 3 weeks, a dilute potassium, which we know is good for producing flowers.
Right, that is true.
And then once the flowers are there, because these flowers are so delicate,
yeah.
doesn't need to be hydrated, mm-hmm. really. It's just the flower.
Mm.
And the flowers are
it's
there
worthwhile.
For, oh, just a few weeks, and
mm-hmm.
then they're gone. But they're pretty stunning while they're there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's well worth growing the plants for them.
Absolutely.
I think they are just beautiful. Many other cactus flowers would not need that little special treatment.
Mm-hmm.
But these particular ones, because again, they're subtropical, need that bit of humidity to keep those flowers in top shape.
Well, it's great suggestions, great ideas. And Linda, we ran out of time, but I want to thank you so much. You've given us so much great information.
Well, thank you. It's been fun.
And we'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.